welcome to another edition of the No Chofters podcast. I'm your host, Elwin. My guest has been playing a bit of hide and seek with me recently, but I finally got him. You can't escape from me, Matt Darbyshire. How are you doing, Gizzy? You right?
I'm very good. Yourself?
Yeah, man. Listen, it's an absolute honour to have you on this podcast. You know, you and I have known each other for a couple of years now. You know, and obviously you're a club legend out on Monty. And to be honest, without blowing too much smoke out your backside, I've been a favourite of yours. I've been a fan favourite of yours since probably your under 21 days for the national team, because I know you were with the likes of Theo Walcott, James Milner, all of those players. But I distinctly remember you making your debut for Blackburn. Was it? I think it was against Fulham.
That's right. Yeah.
And a lot of my mates were saying, "Yeah, we played with this guy in Championship Manager. He must be half decent." I was like, "Okay, well, let me have a look." And you turned out all right.
Ah, did all right, mate. Yeah, I've had a good career still going, mate. I've got just signed a new 2-year contract at my new club now, MacArthur FC in the A-League, which I'm very excited about. I can't wait to get out there and start my new journey.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this backwards, because I wanted to talk first about your career from the beginning, but this is effectively the tail end of your career. Now, I know I've got a lot of Omonia fans saying to me, well, ask him why he joined that club, why he left the club. Is it all about money? Now, as I said, you and I, we've known each other for a couple of years, and we've been talking about your future. Now, before any listeners get all excited, you and I haven't actually spoken about you leaving Omonia. So this wasn't a conversation that we ever had. We spoke about how much you enjoyed the club, etc., but we never actually spoke about you leaving. So when you did leave, it came as a surprise to me. But at the same time, because you and I have spoken about our personal lives quite a bit, I understand your reasons for going. Now, let's not get it twisted. The money in Australia, it isn't like astronomical money, is it? It isn't like Premier League money, isn't like Bundesliga money or whatnot. So I know you didn't leave for the money. I know
it's not even League Two money.
But there it is. So I know that it wasn't about the money. And I know the reasons why you left and the reasons why you wanted to go to Australia. So do you want to clear that up for anyone, or shall we just leave it at that?
No, not at all. I can clear it up, absolutely. Mm. First and foremost, it was about being with my family.
Mm.
You know, I spent 3 years in Cyprus with my family and then a year without them. It was probably the most difficult year I had at the club. Although we did, you know, come top of the league and we got into the Champions League, it was mentally hard on myself, not having my kids around me and not having my wife with me all the time. But listen, I think 2 years ago we went to Australia. My brother-in-law lives out there, and we've never really wanted to settle anywhere in England, really. And I said to myself, listen, this feels right to me. And my wife said exactly the same. It was literally 2 or 3 days being out there. You know, we spent 2 weeks out there, and we absolutely loved it. So I said to my agent, you know, in a couple of years when my contract finishes at Omonia, can you get me out here? You know, let's see what you can do. And he said, yeah, okay, we'll have a little shout around and see what's happening. And it was literally in the January time of last year, I got a phone call from an ex-teammate of mine, Brett Emerton.
Okay, Blackburn, yeah.
Yeah, and Vince Brella. And they said, you know, why don't you come out and join this new franchise? It's going to be ready in, you know, 2021 season, really. I said, I'd love that, you know, I'd love that. But, you know, it's a little bit early because I've still got a year left at Omonia. And, you know, I was obviously really, really enjoying myself there. But obviously being away from the family a year, you know, the season was very difficult. I was doing so well, and we had a great team there. We had a great coaches and technical director and everything else. You know, obviously the fans was great with me as well. But the only one thing that was missing was my family being here. And I want to try and get the kids settled somewhere. You know, we've moved around a lot during football, and you know, it's time to get them settled somewhere. We want to try and settle in Australia if we can. So we're going to go out there for a couple of years and see how that goes. And fingers crossed, everything goes to plan. My wife's going to set up some new business out there and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's something I'm really, really excited about. Some of the kids are excited about. If we found the schools for them, so they're settled, you know, they're going to get settled there, ready to go. And it's just, yeah, going to be a longish pre-season for myself and then back into playing, which I'm thoroughly excited about, because it's been a bit too long now since I've left Omonia and not really kicked a ball.
Yeah, that's right. And I know Killian was out at Wellington, wasn't he? Wellington Phoenix, I think.
That's right.
He's,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
so. He's had a taste of the A League. So did you speak to him about the standard of the league and whatnot?
Yeah, he says it's a good standard, mate. He said a lot of people are surprised, like they are with Cyprus, to be honest with you, because obviously he's played there and in the mm-hmm. A League. Sorry. So he said you'll be surprised by the standard of the league. It is a good standard.
Good, excellent. Well, I'm glad we cleared this up because, you know, look, I've been doing podcasting for about 7-8 years, and I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of ex-footballers and current footballers, and their stories are similar to you in the sense that family will always come first. Football is a short career. You know, you'd be lucky to get 20 years out of it, you know, injury-free. And you see the likes of Ronaldo and Giggs and all these other players, they play to like 36 to 40. But, you know, one injury, it could knock a couple of years off your career. A recurrence could knock off another couple of years. So you don't know how long you've got in the game. So when you're telling me you want to go to a different league with your family, that completely changes the whole demographic or the dynamic, sorry, because, you know, as you mentioned, you were out in Cyprus for 3 years. In 1 year, you're without your family. And that's your kids are... Yeah, so yeah. So you got three boys?
Three boys, yeah.
You got three boys. And they're all teenagers, I presume, or most of them are.
Well, the twins are 12 now and the little one's 7.
Right, so you got one. Okay, so you got two that are 12, 1, 7. So they're at that age where they fully understand what's going on. It's not as if, you know, they're babies and you can still move them around and they'll be all right. You know, now, they're at a very fragile age in the sense that they've got their mates out in the UK. They've got their mates in different countries or whatnot. Going to Australia, yes, it's a big move, but because it's the same language, I presume it's a similar culture, but the weather's perfect. And on top of that, it's a new adventure for you. And to be fair, like I said, when was it when we spoke about this? Was it March, April time when the season, you know, I said, no one will begrudge you leaving because you've done such an incredible job at the club. And this is your family. Your family comes first, irrespective of football. Football comes last when it comes to this sort of thing. So, you know, as I said to you a long time ago, you're a club legend. You've done so much for the club. And we owe you so much. And for anyone that thinks that they've got the divine right to get on your back for making a decision that benefits your family, nah, I've got no time for that. Sorry.
To be honest with you, mate, from what I can see, no one's ever said anything to me, mate. Not one wrong thing. It's always been good, positive stuff that I've heard, you know, in regards, obviously, to my face and on my Instagram and things like that. But, you know, let's go back another year. The start of my third season, you know, a big decision of mine was to leave then. I said January, the start of year three.
Mm-hmm.
I've had two fantastic seasons there, top goal scorer in both seasons. Done really well. Third season, two new coaches came in, didn't really play much, you know, didn't get on with this, you know, the second coach wasn't really playing the type of football the first coach wanted. My decision then, when I was left out of the squad a few times, was to leave the club. And, you know, and it's nothing to do with the club. It's nothing to do with whatever everyone says about the whatever. I want to play football, mate.
Mm.
And anyone that knows me and anyone that's seen me play, at Ammonia especially, you know, because obviously, you know, a lot of Ammonia fans are going to be watching this, is even when it's 90th minute and I get pulled off, I'm not happy, mate.
Yeah.
You know, cool. It's a short career, mate, and I want to play as much as I possibly can. And because I wasn't playing at that time, you know, I didn't spit my dummy out. I was a bit more, right, well, I'm going to go and play. You know, I'll be appreciated a bit more there, you know, by a different coach. You know, my wife said, you know, there's no way. This was, sorry, the end of the season, the third season. My wife said to me, there's no way on earth you can leave the club on that season. You know, and thank God she did, to be honest with you, because I'm very rash in these sort of decisions sometimes, which I have been in the past as well. So I decided, thankfully, I decided to give it another shot. Obviously, I spoke to Larko and he believed in me enough to give me another shot as well. Because obviously the year before was a disaster through different things I will never mention or throw anybody under the bus. I'll only throw myself under. So I decided to stay another year and thank God I did because, you know, we had a fantastic year.
Well, do you know what? Last season, it's almost as if it happened yesterday, for me anyway, because it was such a roller coaster season, and obviously COVID put an end to it, and we were given the title, which I think we would have won. In fact, I think we'd have done the double. Honestly, I think we were in such fine form. And obviously Dave came in on loan from Midtjylland, and he gave us that extra bit up front, especially a little bit of pace, and Gagliese was breaking through and whatnot. Yeah. So I was a little bit disappointed that the season ended. But then again, without saying too much about the standard refereeing out there, something tells me that a spanner would be thrown at the works. He would have gone downhill. So I'm kind of glad that it ended when it did.
Yeah. I mean, there's always a spanner that gets chucked in the works over there, regardless of what it is. And I'll never once say anything bad about the Cypriot Formula ever, because do you know what, mate? I've had a fantastic time, regardless of what's happened, you know, against these other clubs in the Casilla and what have you. It was very enjoyable. The experiences you get and the things you learn about these countries for the future, you know, we got, you know, if I come back and coach in one day, you know how to handle it. Obviously, I went to Greece, but I was on the other side of it. And I didn't really understand that side until I left the club and went to Cyprus, you know.
But you were still young when you went to Olympiacos. You were about 23, weren't you? 22, 23? Yeah. So you're still relatively young in that respect. So yeah, it's a new culture and whatnot. But at least when you came to Amonu, you kind of knew what to expect, because the culture in Cyprus is similar to Greece.
Yeah, but I knew what to expect, and the biggest thing for me was when I knew I was going to Cyprus was it's going to be amazing. You know, the atmosphere is unbelievable. Not, you know, no disrespect to England or whatever, but it's just different. Mm. You know. You can't buy the atmospheres, if you know what I mean. They're fantastic, and especially when you're doing well, you know, there's no better feeling.
Well, the thing is, I've spoken to numerous people about the season just gone, and you know, they're telling me about the players that stood out and whatnot. But your name was obviously there, because you were the main guy. You know, you got the goals at the beginning of the season, the two on the opening day, I think it was. You scored. It was a ridiculous. You went on this incredible goal scoring run at the time, and then all of a sudden things kind of changed, and you were sat on the bench for a bit. And at that point, I was thinking, I don't know, man, because when you're in such fine form and then all of a sudden things just dip, I was thinking, was there something wrong? Was he carrying an injury? Perhaps there was a change of system that was affecting your style of play. But I don't know. These things just happen, don't they, man?
Was this on in the third year or last?
Yeah,
year?
last season itself, because I think you were on the bench for a couple of games, weren't you?
I don't know what happened, mate. To be honest with you, I think maybe the coach were trying to look after me or whatever. But it's like he's always said it, mate. It's a big squad. Maybe he thought I was a bit tired. I don't know, but no, I was feeling great, amazing. I felt in the best shape of my life. I was on a fine run as well, so. It is what it is, mate. You know, I knew I was still a big part of the club. I knew I was still going to be playing regardless. I knew I was going to come on, which I did, and I scored and things like that. But yeah, I was okay. I was fine. I think because in the back of my mind, I knew what was going to happen anyway. I knew where I was leaving, but I didn't want to tell anybody because it wasn't fair on the players. I didn't tell one player I was leaving. The only person that knew was a couple of people in the club, because I didn't think it was fair for me to go out and take somebody else's place when I know I'm leaving. And also, imagine I'm running, I'm missing a shot or an open goal or whatever. Why is he playing? He's missed that on purpose. You know, it doesn't matter to him because he's leaving. But if like I said, if anyone knew me, mate. I take every training session and every day as it comes, because football's a short career, and I live every single training like it's my last, and I always have done, mate.
Well, I remember one of your last games, you came off the bench and you scored a penalty. And just by the way that you celebrate that intensity, I knew that you kind of had a point to prove. Maybe subconsciously you had a point to prove, if you get what I'm saying.
I don't think a point to prove, mate, because if I have a point to prove... after I don't know how many games and I've played and how many goals I've scored, then there's something wrong really, because I think every member of staff there and every player believed in me as well, which is for me is the most important thing, because if, you know, they didn't believe in me, then there's something wrong. But I'm not a point to it. I think any player that gets put on the bench for one reason or another, whatever it is, when they come on, especially strikers, they want to do well or they want to score, mate. And when I scored, it was more of a relief, and it was more like, okay, I was on the bench, but I've come on and I've scored. And the coach was very happy for me afterwards. Very happy.
Brilliant. All right. We'll go back to Omoni in a minute. Now, I know you started your career at Darwin, right? And then they folded and you ended up at Great Harwood Town. John Hughes was you.
I started at Darwin, and then I went, they changed to be, like, I think the reserve team, whatever it might be, the kids are, they decided to go with the ladies football instead of the, instead of the men's football. So we moved to Great Harwood Town.
And what, John Hughes was your coach at the time, yeah?
Yeah, it was Andy McNally first.
Right.
He was like the reserve manager. And then obviously John Hughes was the first team manager of the, Northwest Counties Division. He took me under his wing after that and brought me to the first team squad.
Yeah, so you're 17 years old. I read somewhere that you scored 18 goals in your last 8 games or something incredible. I think it's by November you bagged like 18 goals and you scored a hat-trick against Blackpool. So as a teenager at that level, I'm again doing my research and whatnot, people were already saying that this guy could really make it. And I know you had, I think United were interested, Everton, Liverpool, but you ended up at the team that you supported, Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah. I think at the time when I was playing for Great Harwood Town, mate, because for me that was a big level. Like, I was playing with men, and it was a couple off, because it was semi-professional, you know. And I'd signed a contract there. I was getting 20 quid a game. And then when I signed my contract, I got 40 quid a game, which was massive for a kid that was only getting 50 quid a week working. And I think there was clubs around me like Radcliffe Borough. Bernard Mannings was the president there. And I went to meet the club there. And, I thought, well, if I can go there, that's a massive step for me. They're in the conference, blah, blah, blah. And then, it kind of, from that meeting, I went there and they offered to sign me there. And then I think John Hughes said to me, no, we're going to wait a few weeks. And thank God he did, by the way, because they offered something ridiculous at the time, under the table, whatever it might be like. Mm-hmm. And thank God he said no, because within the two or three weeks, whatever it were, there was a handful of, big clubs that came in. Like, Everton obviously went to meet David Moyes, and he was one of the first to show me around the building. He had the pro zone stuff. He was one of the first to have the pro zone. And then I went, a lot of people say, why the hell did you go there? But I went for the experience. I went to Burnley, to have a look around there, because for the experience, I was a Blackburn fan, and Blackburn had not come in by this time. I got told to go there because, it would do me good. So I went there, I had a look around. They wanted to sign me at the time. I went to Manchester United, to the training ground there, looked around, and that was unbelievable, mate. Manchester United probably at the time was the biggest club in the world. And then Blackburn came in, and straight away, I'd made my mind up, and it wasn't a case of them wanting to sign me. It was a case of going on a trial, if you will. And the trial was against Manchester United at Blackburn Rovers' training ground. And I went there and obviously played the game. And a couple of days after, I got a phone call from Rob Kelly. I still speak to him on again. And, he pulled me into the office and said, listen, we want to sign you, mate. And, I've been offered all them other clubs and wages and what have you. But, when I got that phone, that conversation with him, was like something unbelievable, mate. Unbelievable. I remember, I think I broke down crying, to be honest with you, mate. I was only a kid, and it was like, so I'm a Blackburn fan, and I used to watch them. I used to work for the club as well, coaching kids.
All right, okay.
For the community before that, while playing non-league football. So I was right under the noses. Obviously, to go from that to that, when I was the guy that was holding footballs, getting them signed by the players, to go in and training with the players, it's madness.
That's incredible. So you're what, 34 years old now, right? So
thanks,
sorry, mate. Well, I'm older than you, brother. Don't worry about it. So you're 34. So when Blackburn won the league, you must have been what, 10, 11? Is that right?
Seven. I think I was seven.
Seven. My maths is rubbish. Okay. Yeah, seven.
I might have been seven. 95. Or 9.
What year were you born?
94, 95, 86.
86. So yeah. There or thereabouts. So you still remember those days, and I remember when Alan Shearer joined Blackburn Rovers from Southampton, the club record fee, which was like, was it 3.3 3.25 or something.
Yeah, it's not that, yeah.
You know, and he scored twice on his debut against Crystal Palace, and then he went from strength to strength. So I presume he was your boyhood hero, right? Or was it Mike Newell?
No, he was. It was Alan Shearer, mate. I think I've got his Newcastle shirt up there. I've got his Blackburn Rovers shirt in there. Okay. Yeah, he's definitely someone I looked to growing up and, you know, tried to learn a bit off.
So I take it you met him while you were at the club as well, when you were working as a youngster? Is that right?
No, I didn't meet him working at the club. I played against him.
Oh, you played against him?
Yeah, I played against him. Obviously, that's where I got the
Newcastle shirt, yeah.
Yeah, the Newcastle shirt there, but yeah.
Excellent. Then, there you go. There's something. Because I know when he joined Newcastle from Blackburn Rovers, there was a world record fee back in 96, so like £15 million. People were saying,
yeah.
Well, why would he want to go to Newcastle United? And why didn't he go to Man United? And he said, it's my boyhood club. And I think, unless you're in that position to be given the opportunity to join the club that you supported as a kid, or join a club where, okay, you're probably going to win more things, you're going to choose the more emotional side of things, aren't you?
You are. Well, I mean, I did. I mean, it's completely different to me from me to him in regards to choosing a club, because he was going straight into play as a Manchester United player. I was going into the academy level, you know, it's completely different. But yeah, I obviously chose Blackburn over. Obviously, I didn't snub them. I just chose the club because it was my club, and I'd supported them as a youngster. And I thought I'd make my family proud, and play for my hometown would be amazing.
Yeah. So you signed from what, 20th of December 2004, was it? 2004.
Good knowledge, mate. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, I know you made your debut. Was it against Fulham? I want to say Fulham.
Yeah.
Against Fulham, and you scored your first goal against Wigan back in 2007. And I don't know if Yordi Gomez was at Wigan at the time. I can't remember.
Could have been, actually. Yeah, he could have been. I remember coming on against Fulham, mate, and I think I got about 15-20 minutes. And I remember running down the left-hand side, mate. And I remember Big Zach Knight.
Oh, yes. And they had Fitzhall as well, wasn't it? Wasn't Fitzhall playing?
Yeah. I'd gone there. He'd kneed me right into the side of my thigh, mate. And he'd give me the biggest dead leg ever. And there was no way on earth I was coming off, mate. I was running around, hobbling around, but there's no way I was getting off that last 10 minutes. No chance, mate.
Was that Craven Cottage, or was that QPRs? Oh, it was at home. It was at home. Okay.
Fair enough.
Because my memory keeps drawing a blank for most of that season, 2004, 2005. So I can't remember, because Fulham didn't... Was Van der Sar in goal for them then? Or had he joined United by that time?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. It could have been the goalie, actually. Yeah, I think it was.
Might have been. Sorry, I keep digressing when it comes to these things. My brain just keeps... So who gave you your senior day? Was it Mark Hughes?
It was, mate, yeah. It was Mark Hughes. And obviously, it was amazing, mate. For someone like Mark Hughes to give you, obviously, your debut. But just to work with him day in and day out, and it's still unbelievable in training, doing the shooting after trainings, and him and Eddie Nowinski was unbelievable, mate. His technique was frightening, and he said, listen, you do this every day, go out on the bounce boards and, practice your first touch, will only help you in the future. And I did it religiously for years and years and years and years, mate, and it really, really, really did help me. So I couldn't trap a bag of sand, mate.
You're right now, yeah? You're right now.
Yeah, I'm okay now, yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of Sparky, obviously, he was a fantastic player at Man United. He went to Barcelona, played a bit of a spell at Bayern Munich. They went back to Man United. And the rest of the history, Cup winner, FA Cup winner, Premier League winner. He's managed so many fantastic clubs. Okay, I'm not going to mention Man City that time there. But, you mentioned he gave you advice on what to do with your technique and obviously your shooting. Yeah. How many more head coaches would you say that you've worked with that have helped improve your game?
Improve my game? I would say there's quite a few. There is quite a few, to be honest. And even the ones that didn't help me improve my game helped me in other ways, even when it was a bad spell at the club. Because you take something out of everything, the good and the bad, which I think you have to do that, but there's many, there's Ernesto Valverde was amazing when I went to Olympiacos. I was definitely not his type of player, by the way. Never in a million years would he have signed me if the technical director would have been in play. You know, it wouldn't have been in play, sorry. You know, he's like more technical players, blah, blah, blah. But he really helped me, mate, you know, getting the ball down and playing and, you know, getting hold of it and, you know, different positions. It was fantastic. Even like John Carver, mate, when I was at Ammonia, he was brilliant for me in a different way. You know, we used to work on finishing after training, but it was more of like a confidence builder. It was more right. of a, like an old man would be, you know, like your dad. It would be like, you know, an arm around the shoulder. He knew when my good days were and when my bad days were. I'd walk in and I'd walk around the corner and he'd knew straight away, Matt, into the office. And I'd go in, he'd have a little chat. And that'd be me, mate. I'd be fine for another month, you know. And some people don't need it and some people do. And I was one of them that he knew who needed it. Yeah, there's a lot out there, mate. And I've had a lot of managers, but they've all helped in their own little ways.
Mm. And what about teammates then? Because at Blackburn, you had the likes of Lorenzo Maruso, you had two guy. You had Santa Cruz at one point, Benny McCarthy, Robbie Savage being one of them. The list goes on. So you had a pool of players there that obviously you could have learned from. But then obviously your time at Olympiacos, you had players there, Nottingham Forest, Plymouth when you were younger. So many different clubs you played at. So in terms of senior figures that maybe would have taken you to one side, look, Matt, this is how you do this, this is how you do that. Was there anyone that really stood out for you?
There's quite a few, mate, especially in my Blackburn days. First of all, you know, when I was around the, you know, just got into the reserve team at Blackburn, I remember working down the bottom with the older guys like Dwight York.
Oh, wow.
And same again with the bounce boy thing. So obviously saw something in my game where, like, this is what you need to improve on. And I remember him taking me to the side and you know, work this, you know, do this, you know, body position like this. And I'll never forget that, mate. Maybe he doesn't remember, but I'll never forget the little things. Them little things stay in your memory for a long time, mate. And then obviously as I got older and then we moved up to the new training ground and the likes of Benny and Roque came in, you know, there was big influences on me, mate.
Mm.
Because, you know, watching that quality, you know, people won't realise how good they were, mate. They was fantastic players, mate. You know, the likes of two guys as well. Roque, Santa Cruz, Benny McCutton. Technically unbelievable. Like Roque, good in the air, quick, strong. Left foot, right foot, unbelievable, mate. Benny, I can't say enough good words about them. Just watching them play and, you know, the positions they got themselves into and reacted in the box, mate. Was detrimental to my progress at Blackburn.
Fair enough. So you earned this move to Olympiacos. First, it was a loan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you go to Birmingham on loan, and then you went back to Olympiacos on permanent. Is that right? Or have I got them?
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So when you heard of the interest from this team in Greece, I presume you knew quite a bit about them because they'd been in the Champions League or most of the time they'd been in the Champions League because they were doing pretty well in Greece at the time. So was your primary aim to go to Greece, play for them and to play in the Champions League? Or were you like, well, you know what, this is a nice platform for me to build up my confidence and then maybe come back to England?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it was the loan move. Wasn't really a surprise. It was more of a, how would you say, off the cuff thing, really, because like I said to you at the start of this call, I've gone from having Paul Ince as a coach. I think I played in the last five or six games and I scored like four or five goals in the Premier League. And then Sam Allardyce came in and I'd gone from the one of the two strikers starting along with Benny or Roque, to go into fourth or fifth choice. Now I get it. You know, no disrespect to Big Sam. He likes a big target man and I'm not that, you know. And then straight away, I said to myself, right, I have to leave. I have to go and play football.
Hmm.
You know, I'm really enjoying my football now. I want to go and play. So, you know, I spoke to Sam. I said, you know, can I go and play? I really want to play. I think it was after four or five games of not coming on and not being, you know, in the starting 11. And he said, yeah, if you can get a transfer fee for your loan, whatever it may be, you know, try and find a club. You can go on loan, get some games. And then obviously Olympiacos came in because I think we'd played against Olympiacos in pre-season game, and they beat us 5-0, mate.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
Yeah, they was obviously, they was way ahead of us at the time in pre-season training, because they obviously had the Champions League.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember them from that time, you know. And I knew when they came in, I knew there was a massive club. You know, they had, I think, Rivaldo were playing for them at the time when they beat us 5-0. So I knew there was, you know, there was a special club.
Okay, so when you were approached by them and you went out to Greece and you saw the stadium and the way that the club operates, did you see yourself having a long-term future there?
I didn't, mate, no. I thought to myself, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to get some, gain some experience of being in, you know, in Europe, playing in Europe. No one does it. No English player does it. Why not? I'm going to go and do it, you know? So, yeah, I went out there for was it three months or whatever it might have been, 4 months, and did really well, mate. Really, really well. And I took to the club so quickly. You know, the fans were great with me as well. You know, obviously because of the cup final and stuff, that really, really helped. You know, it was a great football. I was living in a great area. My kids was okay. My wife was fine. And they wanted to buy me, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so, you know, you mentioned that famous goal. Would you say that's one of the biggest highlights of your career? Or are there any other ones that stand out for you?
Of my career or my time in Olympiacos?
Well, just in general, mate. Because I know a lot of Olympiacos fans still mention it. I mean, even randomly, I see your Instagram post and you've got an Olympiacos fan mentioning that goal and also every, you know, other goals that you scored. But would you say that cup final goal was up there with probably the best moments of your career?
Yeah, I mean, playing in the cup final itself was amazing. But to get a couple of goals in the cup was unbelievable, mate. You know, the way, if you ask any Olympiacos supporter or any Greek fan or Cypriot fan, therefore, about that cup final, it was unbelievable, mate. You know, I don't think there will be another one like that, you know, any year. It was unfold, a twist and turns everywhere. They went 2-0 up straight away, you know. It was crazy, and to come back and to win on penalties like we did was fantastic, mate. I don't think I'll ever play any game like that ever again.
What was the atmosphere like then, do you remember?
It was incredible, mate. I think there was like 60,000-70,000 fans there.
Wow.
And you know, you can imagine what the fans are like there. It felt like there was 200,000 fans, you know, and to score in the 93rd minute, you know, to equalise, you know, to go through to extra time, whatever, it was something I'll never forget. Definitely Brilliant. Up there in my career, yeah.
Fantastic. All right, let's move on to Omonia now, because I know the Omonia fans are probably saying to me, talk about the club. So, right, so, you know, first season you ended fifth. I think your first goal was against Hermes, wasn't it? Your hat-trick was against Ethnikos. That was a very dramatic hat-trick. 3 goals in, what, 7 minutes or something like that?
4 minutes. Just under four minutes.
Sorry, my bad. Get my 7 mixed up, you know. But, you know, 17, 18 became sixth. 18, 19, fifth. And then, obviously, last season, We were handed the title. Why do you think there was such a big change from the previous season to last season?
Recruitment.
Yeah.
I think straight away, I think laying some foundations down the third year of my spell, we laid the foundations down when Larko came in the, I think it was the January time, maybe he came in. And, it, you know, you could see he was laying slowly, you know, foundations for the future. The short term future. And then obviously bring in that summer, the following summer. I think when you bring the right people in that are hungry to win and succeed, and you have the right mentality of player that are coming into your squad, it's detrimental, mate, especially in the dressing room, you know. And the players he brought in, regardless if they would have been amazing players, mate, if they wasn't good guys and good people and hungry, he would not have brought them in, mate. You know, and that's a big thing, mate. You know, when you have a dressing room full of guys that are hungry and willing to win for each other, you can't buy that, mate. It was amazing.
Well, I find the transition immense, because when you first joined the club, there were a lot of financial difficulties there, weren't there? There's a lot of, the word I can use is kind of dysfunctional in terms of the atmosphere at the top at the club. And I know a lot of fans became very frustrated because another team in Nicosia were dominating and, you know, Omonia were kind of falling behind. And granted, it's not like the Premier League where, you know, the likes of Liverpool are going to be up there and then you've got, I don't know, Burnley down there. The gap is going to be huge. I don't think it will ever come like that in Cyprus because the gap financially, it seems to be getting shorter, if that makes sense, because you're seeing a lot of other teams, you know, like Apollon and obviously making the Europa League, granted, they're out, but, you know, they're making it consistently. But when you've got a club like Omonia, who, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, on the island, and then they're falling behind Apoel, it's obviously upsetting a lot of supporters. And then you're seeing all this nonsense that's happening at the top, be it with the club secretary, be it with external influences. How was it for you coming into a club like that? I'm sure you saw it with your own eyes. I'm not asking for details, but given the experiences.
Yeah, to be honest with you, mate, obviously I went to Omonia to get more European football, mate. Mm. And that was it. You know, when I first looked at the club and I didn't know much about the club, I thought to myself, right, they're in Europe, which they was, in the qualifiers. You know, I'll go and get some more experience there and play there. And then obviously we went and, you know, whatever the games went, you know, we got to play in the European qualifiers, whatever it might have been. It was very dysfunctional, mate, at the time. Very. And everybody knew it, mate. Everybody knew it. Obviously, I was maybe like that. Because I was enjoying my football so much, mate. You know,
maybe did anyone at the club warn you, like any of your teammates? Because I'm thinking, like, you come in, you meet the team. There's going to be one or two players that might pull you to one side and say, "Yeah, come up for a beer with us." Or during your initiation, you know, someone might tell you something. I don't know.
Well, let's put it this way: if I was a player now, and I was getting a Matt Derbyshire to come in. And my team, do you think the first thing I would say to them would be, "The club's fucked, mate"? You know, no,
oh, no, you wouldn't. But
no, you'd be thinking, right? We've got this, we've got that. We can maybe we've got a chance here. Because as a player, you don't really take. You try your best not to take heed of that. You know, you try and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday training, Saturday game, and then again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday game. You know, and that's what you do, mate. Obviously, you know things are going wrong when you're not getting paid and blah 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 blah. But right. you try and put that to the side, mate. You know, and you try to concentrate because when you've been at Omonia for as long as I have, with 4 years, mate, and even after the first 6 months, I knew how hungry these fans were, mate, to win something. And if you could be that player to do well or win something at that club, they will love you forever. And now, don't get me wrong, I didn't do it for that, mate. I did it for the club, you know. I didn't do it for my recognition. I did it for the club. Obviously, I have to do my job, you know. And if I do my job, then obviously everything goes in tandem with that, you know. So I was just concentrating on doing my job, scoring the goals, you know, being one of the leaders in the dressing room, blah blah blah. But yeah, obviously there's many things behind the scene that wasn't great.
Yeah,
you know, and that's behind us now, thank God. That is way behind us. Obviously, the president, you know, the president coming in and taking over, and you know, the amount of money he's putting is astronomically.
But that must have given you and the players that are already there a bit of a lift, knowing for that there's a guy come in, not because he's got this financial clout, but the fact that he's willing to change the whole structure of the club. I know that he's going to pump money into redoing the training ground. They're talking about building a new stadium. So when you see this old regime slowly being whittled out, and then this new guy comes in, and he's like, right, I'm restructuring, I'm bringing in this guy as head coach. Boom, here we go.
It depends who you are, mate, because, you know, what, some people are happy just to be there and play and collect the wage and go. And some people, you know, when there's a new man come in and they're bringing a lot of money there, and then obviously the budget's going to go up, which means better players. So for me, that's like amazing. You know, we're gonna win something. We're gonna do something here. You know, for other players, it's a scary time because that means they might have to step to the side. But I knew it was a good thing for the club, regardless whether I was going to play or not.
Mm. Well, the thing is, you mentioned players that are hungry, and I'll tell you this for now. The signings that we made last summer, it clicked immediately. You know, normally it takes a few months for players to bed in, but, you know, Thiago was on fire from day dot. I mean, I know Ortega came in, all these other players came in, and a few left during the season. But, you know, it's even it was Ozoho who started off. I know he picked up an injury and he was out for the rest of the season, but then Fabiano came in, and I'm looking at this squad, I'm like, wow, there is so much cohesion here. There's so much team unity, and you guys have, as a collective, you hadn't been together for a serious amount of time. So for you guys to gel straight away, I think that's a testament to you guys, your attitudes, and also the coaching stuff, no?
Absolutely, yeah. I think when a new player comes in, we was every one of the players was as soon as he walked through the dressing room, mate, was open arms to him, you know? And as long as they was hungry and as long as they was willing to work for the club, we knew we'd be like that with them. Come on, in you come, let's do this, you know? And win, lose or draw, we stayed together. We had a drink together after the games, whatever it might have been. And it went like that throughout the season. And it was fantastic, mate. And we had some fantastic boys in the dressing room as well. You know, that came in and, you know, that just gelled straight. Even Fabiano, mate, he didn't speak a lot of English at the time. But, you know, we made him feel special straight away. And anyone that comes into a new work environment, mate, that gets along with his co-workers straight away is gonna help them regardless, you know?
So would you say the attitude in the squad last season or your final season was better than the three previous seasons? Would you say, was there at least one season where you thought, yeah, there's some decent camaraderie here, but for whatever reason, we just didn't perform?
Yeah, I had some amazing friends in all the years. And great camaraderie in every single one of them. But to get a dressing room, in my final year, where, I'm not saying it wasn't like that before. What I'm trying to say is to get a dressing room where when you do well, everybody's happy for you, regardless whoever it is, the young kid's coming in to score a goal, to make an appearance. You know, everybody was happy. And on the other hand, when they stepped out of line, you know, the young kid stepped out of line, whatever it may be. And I was one of the biggest ones for it. I'd be on him. Because one little thing can change a dressing room very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we put that into place as well, where, you know, anyone stepped out of line, we'd give him a little bollocking and we'd be back to normal again.
Mm. I was going to ask you if there are any players that you're quite pleased that left during your time there, but I'd be putting you on the spot and that wouldn't be fair. But in terms of the players that are coming through now, I mean, we've seen the likes of Loizu, Johnny's, etc. It's almost as if, and obviously they've been there for most of their careers, they're very young careers because they've been in the academy and whatnot. But for me, seeing the way that Cypriot football has evolved over the years, for me to see the likes of these young lads breaking into the first team and settling in straight away to play with so much confidence, to be so brave, for me that's unheard of in Cyprus, because in the past we've been used to seeing 11 players that aren't Cypriot at all play on a team sheet, or 22 that aren't Cypriot on a team sheet. But now the other game against AEK, we had 6 academy players in the first team, 5 on the bench. That's unheard of.
I think it goes back to the dressing room again, mate. If you look at the dressing room, the way we treat the kids, we treat them like professional, you know, like older professionals, you know, and we demanded them to be like that, because every day in training was intense, and if they wasn't up to scratch or they was not doing the right thing off the field or in the gym or blah blah blah, they'd be told, mate, you know, in a good way or in a bad way, whichever way you want to put it, but they was told and they got up to scratch the day after. You know, they came in with a better attitude to work again, and it only helped them, mate. And they might not have thought it back then when a couple of us was bollocking them, but look where they are now. You know, I'm not saying it's to do with the captains or the older players, but every little thing helps them out. You know, the things that the staff do before training, after training, themselves, eating, drinking, sleeping, whatever they have to do, you know, it's all coming to forefront now. Mm. And fair play to them. I'm very, very happy for the boys.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of credit obviously goes to Henning Berg and his backroom staff. You know, I watch the games and they cost me an arm and a leg in terms of the amount of games I've been watching on through Prime to having to pay for it. But anyway, it is what it is. But, you know, no fans in the stadiums, but I can hear Henning Berg giving each player a bollocking or giving them instructions. I think the only person that I've seen us against in terms of head coach-wise being more animated is Gets fire, but he was absolutely lambasting his players. I'm thinking, how can you motivate these guys? How can you? But Henning Berg just seems to have, you know, more like a calmer presence, but it's almost as if he's very methodical in his ways. Did you notice anything different to, say, the likes of Mark Hughes, or I don't want to mention Paulus because he didn't really have that much of a great time at Blackburn, but say even Sam Allardyce. But in terms of the previous managers that you had, how can you compare, how would you compare Henning Berg to those ones, or what does he do different to most of them?
I think he's a bit of a thinker. That's what he is. I think he sets his stall out and he knows what he wants, and he wants to get that and he wants to achieve that. Now, it's not always possible, but you know he tries his damn hardest to get that. And like you said, on the other hand, with Kitspire, I had Kitspire as a coach as well in Piarcos, and I know how much he can be an up or a down for you in regards to the managing styles and the way they speak to you, blah blah blah. But it was Henning Berg was great with me. He was a Blackburn legend as well. So that was a great thing, him coming in for myself. But no, we had a great relationship. You know, I was captain of the club. He was the gaffer. We had a very 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 good understanding, even down to the last second I was leaving. Even to the second I told him I was leaving. We had a fantastic relationship. He never really treated me any differently when I was leaving. So I appreciate everything, and I really appreciate him letting me finish out my career at Ammonia as I did.
Brilliant. All right. Have you got some time for some quick fire questions from?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. Let's go. All right. First question is pretty obvious. What's your favourite goal?
Favourite goal. Wow. For Ammonia or?
For Ammonia. Make it about Ammonia. Forget the others. It doesn't matter about the others.
I think it would. I probably would be 2-1 against Ike at the Gassy B.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I was hoping you'd say the brace out on Rothesy, really, but you know that was my favourite. But
yeah. The which one?
The brace out on Rothesy. The two goals that you got.
Ah, gee, I forgot about them. Yeah.
Because they came from nowhere, mate. Came absolutely nowhere.
Yeah. Actually, they was all right, weren't they?
That's the one I always put up on my Instagram. Like, that goal, man, come on.
I think the one that really stands out is the Ike one, because of the period we was in at the time as well, you know, and that win, the Gassibi in front of our fans was very good, mate.
Okay. Right, superstitions. You got any?
Too many, mate.
Really?
Way too many.
Oh, come on.
Way too many.
Spill the beans. Give me a couple.
Okay, I put my left shin pad on for my right shin pad. I walk around the pitch every game, before every match. I go into one goal mouth and the other goal mouth. I eat the same meal before I eat there's too many, mate. There's way too many to speak about. I jump off my left foot, then my right foot before I come on the pitch. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I know that, you know, you've got more than one, so
yeah, I can keep going as well.
No worries. Okay. In terms of the Ammonia dressing room last season, who would you say is the funniest character?
The funniest, Thomas.
Yeah?
100%.
Really?
I mean, in my last month, I was so happy that he was my roommate. I could really get to know him properly, you know what I mean? And he is one of the funniest guys I've come across.
Doesn't look like it, though.
Oh, mate, he's hilarious, mate. Fantastic guy as well. Really good boy. And a great career.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I know it's a Soccer AM kind of question, but worst dress sense?
Honestly?
Go on.
Loughner. Horrendous.
Really?
Horrendous. Yeah. The t-shirts are like five times too small for him all the time.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
He'll love that when he gets that.
Excellent. All right. Favourite Cypriot meal? Someone sent that to me. Favourite Cypriot meal?
Favourite Cypriot meal would have to be, right, here we go. Chef Dalia, halloumi, halloumi and pita.
Come on, Giza, lovely.
Yes, amazing.
Excellent, excellent, perfect. Amazing. Perfect.
Very fat in life, but good.
Hey, listen, you know, you're a footballer. Come on, you burn it off after like 10 minutes.
No, I will.
Right, someone asked, Suvlakia or Suvla? You know the difference, right?
I'd probably go for Suvla.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
You?
I'm a Suvlakia kind of person, man. I'm a Suvlakia. Okay. Yeah, that's me. Most memorable moment?
Most memorable moment would probably be, Jesus, there's too many, mate. Most memorable moment would probably be going to the offices and actually signing my contract and my release clause, actually, which is, this sounds terrible, mate, but it was like, shit, I'm actually leaving the club here.
Wow.
Yeah. And then doing the interview afterwards, which was very, very hard to keep a dry eye.
And I noticed. Yeah. And even I was watching it, I had goosebumps. And I was actually at my mum's house in the garden watching it. And my daughter's come out. She goes, "What's wrong, Papa? What's wrong?" I says, "I'm just watching this video with Matt." She's like, "Did you do the video?" No, I didn't do the video. She's like, "What's wrong?" I says, "I'm just a bit sad that he's leaving." "Where's he going?" I says, "He's going to Australia." "That's a bit far." She's 6 years old. What do you want me to say?
I just think it was such a family place, mate. You know, I always try to look after the people that people don't think that matter. It's like the kit men and the people around inside the club all the time. Mm. They're the people that really matter at the club, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, you've got the kit men, you've got I joke about, the person that sells the locomotives outside the stadium and the woman that washes the kits, but that's right, it's all family, it's all one. And without these little pieces, you can't put the puzzle together. So, yeah, but it's been an incredible time with you, at Omonia, and, every Omonia fan is very grateful for what you've done, but... yeah, sad to see you go, brother. Anyway, right, before I get all fucking teary eyed myself. right, I was going to say, right, this is going to be an interesting question from a mystery person. How was your left foot last season in Rondos? 5 versus 2.
That's definitely Michael or Young.
Definitely. You got even one.
Michael, yeah?
Michael, yeah.
It was as good as this. It was good as this club, mate.
All right, and he says same question. Sorry, same person, Michael. How did you feel about the dressing room relationships at Omonia last season?
Yeah, great. I mean, listen. As soon as I came in the dressing room, he was the one that was all over me, mate. He loved to be next to me. He loved making a coffee for me every day. He brought me a cheese and ham toastie every day. No, it was great, mate. Him and all the guys, mate. They was like brothers, mate. It was fantastic. We had a great journey together for that season. And yeah, I'll always look back with fond memories of them guys, and I'm sure I'll always keep in touch with them.
Mm. Well, he finished off by saying, "Matt, this is Michael, and you know I miss you and I love you." That's so nice.
Yeah. I love you too, mate.
That's so nice, man. So nice. I'm getting all emotional now. Couple more quick ones, bro. From me, as I said, we've known each other for a couple of years, and you've helped me out a lot from a podcasting perspective, because you've helped me get the likes of Jonathan Greening and Danny Collins and whatnot. And you're one of the nice guys. I was talking to Michael about you the other day, and I was like, Matt is like literally one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And I'm not just saying this because you're right in front of me, but because you are genuine. I can tell, based on the things that we've spoken about, you're a family guy. You're a private person as well. You're not the kind of person that likes to go out clubbing and all that kind of stuff. When I see your Instagram stuff with your family, it's always your friends, your family. You're not going out raving. Okay, obviously you can't do it now because of the COVID, but you get what I'm saying. And for you to represent this club and to have you as a mate, I'm truly honoured, honestly. And
thank you.
I can't thank you for your support enough, man. Honestly.
No problem. Thank you so much for that nice kind words. I appreciate it, mate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, look, I wish you all the best in your time in Australia. Obviously, we're going to keep in touch, naturally.
Yeah.
It's been great talking to you, and hopefully we could do this again sometime. Hopefully we could talk about Omonia in the Champions League. Obviously, we've got a big game against Olympiakos, and you're in the fence for those ones. So
yeah, It's a strange one, mate. Yeah, it's I've never been in a position like this one. You know, obviously two different countries, two different teams. Obviously, play for both of them, and yeah, it's a different situation to be in because you know I've had amazing times at both of them. I just like I said before the first game, I just hope it's going to be a great second leg now for the fans to appreciate it and the guys to get the most out of the games and do as best they can.
Excellent, wonderful.
But I'm not going to pick a winner.
Hey, say no more. Brilliant. Well, Matt, thank you very much for your time, man. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, mate. Cheers. All the best, mate.
Thank you very much. Right, guys, that was the No Chof Des podcast with my guy, Matt Derbyshire. So, or shall I say my captain, not yours. So, next time, adios.